Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Finally tonight, markets and company news. Simon Brown from Just One Lap is with us. And Simon, just looking at the JSE in late afternoon trade, a sea of red, although Anglo Gold and Goldfields head above water and a little bit of interest in some of the financial stocks.
Yeah, the evening, Jeremy. The gold miners, we've got the gold price moving higher again. So approaching the futures price is approaching 3,100. That always gets the miners excited. And the rand largely unchanged. So that certainly helps them in that regard. But as you say, it is mostly red out there. The market's had a fairly good run. We were almost back at all-time highs yesterday. And, of course, new threats of tariffs coming out of the U.S., which is adding that uncertainty in. There's lots of things markets don't like, but the thing they dislike the least is uncertainty.
I've got gold currently at just over $3,051 an ounce, again, in record territory here. How much higher can bullion climb, do you think?
Oh, Jeremy, I honestly don't know. I mean, I want to say a lot, which is a complete non-answer. But the story behind gold is more than just worries around the current policies coming out of Washington. It's more than just inflation, which has receded but not completely gone. There has been a shift, and this started all the way back in sort of around 2018. Central bankers buying more gold, where they're mostly had been buying treasuries and the like. They had started to buy gold a lot more post the Ukraine invasion of Ukraine. Sorry, Russian invasion of Ukraine. We've certainly seen an uptick in gold purchases from central bankers. I think that trend is going to continue. And then there's some weird things. For example, it was only towards the end of last year that most global private investors started investing into gold ETFs. They hadn't been big buyers. So there's still a wave coming in that regard. So I think gold certainly has a long way to go. And you know, someone said to me a few weeks ago, $4,000 was on the table. And at the time, it seemed a little bit crazy, but now we're over 3,000. I don't think it's going to get there in a hurry, but I do think it's got that momentum. And I do think it's kind of coming back to its own. You know, for a long time, 10, 15, 20 years, it really was considered a relic. No one took it seriously. But as soon as you start making money on something, the market takes you serious.
So I'm wondering if this raises questions about the industry in South Africa's ability to mine and produce to meet increased demand.
So that's a great point. And a couple of things. I mean, we're not as big a global producer as we used to be. We used to be the dominant global miner. We've been in the top 10, but I think we're right towards the bottom of it in that regard. A lot of our mines in South Africa are older, which means they're a lot deeper. They're a lot more expensive to run. But of course, the expense part fades away when gold's at record prices. The problem is it's not just expense. It is the challenges of deep mining. We've seen the challenges that Goldfields has had with South Deep, which has been a continual problem with them. The other side of the coin is, where does the new gold production come from? I was just a moment ago looking up on the most recent Goldfields production that got a mine in Chile. It took them 13 years from discovery to production, which means, you know, there's no big amount of gold waiting to suddenly be mined that can come into the market in any quickness. The flip side is, with gold at these levels, we'll see substitution. People getting platinum wedding rings rather than gold wedding rings. Because we see recycling. Suddenly your wedding ring has got a whole lot of value to it. And, you know, if your partner's not smiling at you, maybe you go and melt it down. So that does bring some supply into the market.
I wish you hadn't put that thought into my head, Simon. Mrs. Maggs, put on some gloves tonight. I'm just looking at the rand at the moment, Simon. 18.22 against the dollar. And within all of this volatility around the world, our currency is remarkably stable, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it's gone to sleep, is the honest response. You know what I think it is? So we sit here in South Africa, and we're worried about our government of national unity and ambassadors being sent home and budgets and VAT increases, and our world feels full of turmoil. But when we lift our head and look to the rest of the world, well, there's frankly a lot more turmoil out there. You know, Europe is suddenly realizing that their biggest NATO partner, the US, perhaps can't be relied on. President Trump and tariffs, and you know, we have no idea where we stand or when they're going to happen or if they'll be rescinded. So I think in a world of increased uncertainty, and there's that horrible word again, what we're seeing is we're looking like a bit of a sea of calm. I would also add that the rand, in many senses, is a supply and demand. Yes, there are traders who will use it for speculative positions, and we can be often used as a proxy for emerging currencies as a basket rather than just ourselves. But with gold, again, at $3,000 an ounce, and we export gold, that is helping our rand. So that sort of offsets some of the woes that we have.
Simon, we'll take the sea of calm, absolutely. But against that observation, there was also a note out today that said foreign investors have sold off South African equities at the fastest pace in more than a year in the fourth quarter of last year, and perhaps turning their attention more to bonds. That's led to smaller portfolio inflows. What's the sentiment read on that?
I think what we saw, and if we look at the sort of very SA Inc., and you know, I'm thinking clothing retailers, food retailers, although less in the food space because that's really just a ShopRite story. But if we look at like Mr. Price, who doubled in the course of the year, there was a sense of, well, you know, that's an excellent return. Make no mistake about it. Is it going to double again? Well, no. Valuations went from very cheap to fair to maybe a little over fair. And it was just taking the money off the table and saying, we have done what we set out to do. We have made our profits. And we certainly saw and have continued to see a sell-off on a lot of our retailers, some of our SA Inc., since sort of October, maybe late November of last year, as it was a case of, after a spectacular run, the fund managers are going to take their money and look for somewhere else. Some of that somewhere else is bonds. Our bonds are attractively priced. Our risk element, although you know the rating agencies have us at sub-investment grade, the truth is we're exceedingly unlikely to default on bond payments. We have a very good issuance profile. Our bonds are vast majority in rands, so we're not subject to, you know, bonds and dollars and a weak currency suddenly blows out our budget. So it kind of makes some sense of taking some money out of equities into bonds. Of course, as private investors, you, I, and the listeners out there, we don't have that level of flexibility. We've got tax challenges. So this really is more the fund managers and asset managers.
And just a final one, Simon, there was a note out earlier today, the IDC, the Industrial Development Corporation, possibly taking control or a semblance of control of the troubled ArcelorMittal. That would be a fairly risky move at this point, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. I mean, so the challenge in the steel industry we have in South Africa is just a chronic oversupply. And some of that oversupply is internal and structural. Some of it is China mostly shipping into Europe, but certainly some of that will also be finding its way into South Africa. And then, of course, challenges, Eskom, logistics, lack of demand. I mean, you know, the budget again speaks of spending hundreds of billions of rands in infrastructure. And if that happens, then we need lots of steel. The process is also how they plan to do it. Now, that's a little bit vague, but I do think, and I've said it before on this show, I do think having steel production is important for a country that really wants to be able to succeed. Because at some point in the future, I don't know, let's say 5-10 years time, you know, global economies are booming, huge demand for steel, and suddenly steel is through the roof, and that can hinder our ability to grow. Now, we've been managing to hinder our own ability perfectly fine, but a lack of steel or high-cost steel really is a challenge. And I think steel is a strategic resource, and we've seen that in the US, we've seen it in Europe. The problem with that is that these points in the cycle, everyone's like, well, why? How come? And if IDC is just to merely up their stake in ArcelorMittal, that doesn't particularly solve the problem, which is ArcelorMittal is just unprofitable, and that the long steel business is just absolutely killing their any hopes of profitability. So the structuring of that deal is what becomes hugely important.
And we'll talk again next week. That's Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Appreciate your time tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.